For those of you just tuning in for the first time, or for those who might be tuning in for the first time in a while, we've spent the past few episodes talking about the relationship between applications and platforms, looking at how each of these two tools, if you will, come to life in an application-based strategy or, surprise, a core platform strategy, as well as when it might make sense to move from one end of the spectrum to the other. Today, I wanted to do a deep dive on what, in my mind at least, is the last kind of outstanding chapter in this discussion, data. Whether an application is deployed individually or as more of a plug-and-play style component to a larger platform strategy, it captures all kinds of data about a given process. Things like contextual data that might highlight what triggered an ask in the first place, or more of the granular details about when and where and how a workflow succeeded or broke down. And of course, the aftermath. How well did that process perform? How well did it address a need? A lot of this data was undetectable, say 10 years ago when cloud applications and certainly cloud platforms weren't nearly as prevalent. But as more processes have moved from paper-based forms to digital apps, think about the number of times you open up your smartphone or call upon an app as your first step to engaging with any kind of an organization, both the variety and the volume of detectable data has increased significantly. Yet, only 16% of federal agencies said that they felt like they had all of the information they needed to address the needs of their constituents. At least this was a finding in a recent study that we commissioned with IDC called Driving Value for Government Through Digital Services. And there was a quote in that study that I found particularly interesting, especially with respect to that 16% stat. It reads as follows. Having the right data at the right time and the right place is a business process issue and a technology issue that, even with the necessary restrictions on the sharing and use of citizen data, can largely be overcome with the appropriate technologies and business processes. That's from Alan Weber, author of that study. To take a look at this topic in more detail and fully flesh out this kind of outstanding chapter, I invited Alan to join me as my guest on today's episode. Alan is the Research Director for Digital Strategy and Customer Experience at IDC. In this role, Alan leads IDC's Customer Experience Research Program and supports a number of special requests that come down from their chief marketing officer. He has more than 25 years of analyst management and technology experience working with both private sector firms and public sector organizations alike. This includes serving as partner and principal analyst at the Altimeter Group covering digital strategy, serving as a principal analyst covering customer experience at Forrester Research, and has led a variety of technology, strategic planning, customer engagement, and performance management initiatives for several U.S. government agencies. And, fun fact, he's currently an adjunct faculty member at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California, for the U.S. Navy, where he lectures on the impact of disruptive technologies. As you can imagine, his work on our study, along with this rich background, made for a really interesting conversation with respect to the data that's so inherent to applications and platforms alike. This is Our Digital Nation. Stay tuned.
Our Digital Nation is brought to you by the FedRAMP-approved Salesforce Government Cloud. Give leadership, management, and employees the mobile, self-service, analytical tools they need to connect data, process, and people. Create a digital platform that puts the customer at the heart of the mission.
Government provides so many services where there's a hoped for outcome or an intended outcome that we don't always know whether or not we're actually accomplishing. So for example, on land management practices, whether it's a city, state, federal level, whatever it may be, we're now better able to manage and actually through data, understand the impact of different activities on those lands than we were ever able to do before. And that's through the gathering of data. So for example, many years ago, I actually worked on a couple of studies that looked at the impact of grazing on western prairie grasses and how long it would take for those grasses to recover and, you know, how rain and other things, other factors played into that. It was fun. I was working for the Agricultural Research Service at the time, and it was a blast. But based upon the model, they could sit there and model exactly how long they could let so many head of cattle stay on that land, and actually when they would have to take them off or supplement them with other feed, and it was all down to the data. So we weren't wasting feed, we weren't overgrazing the land, we were maximizing the amount of cattle that could be on that land at one time. That's all something we were never able to do before. It's all because now we had the data and we actually had the applications to process and understand that data. It's funny because the perspective on data has changed significantly over the last, oh, I don't know, maybe going back 50, 60 years. Everybody used to talk about data. We've talked about data forever and ever, but we never really, until recently, understood the value of data and how it can actually be used. I mean, for the longest time, we kept financial records. We did financial reports. We, as government agencies, issued reports about different things that were happening. And that was all really good information, but we've finally really come to realize through the different technology systems that really the fuel that does everything that it is we need to do that really drives everything forward is actually data.
Is it just the fact that we have a lot more data now?
I don't think there is any more data than there was before. We have just figured out new ways to collect it and use it. Probably the best example of this is temperature data. I mean, whether we collect it or not, there is a way to measure what the temperature is of the room you're in on a second-by-second basis. We're now capable of doing that. That data has always been there because that has always existed. The question is have we collected it? Do we retain it? And do we use it? That's really what we're getting down to now is, are we collecting, retaining, and using all the data that's out there? And I don't think we are. I don't think we're even close to touching all the data that's out there. But we're now using more and more than we've ever used before. There's one more component that I would add to it, though, and that is really understanding the social and cultural shifts that technology is driving. How do we continue to use that data and those applications in a dynamic environment to continue to provide those services? I think that's the key. That's really what it is we work towards. So now if we actually have the applications within the core platform, we have the data within the core platform, and assuming that those applications are integrated in the best way possible for government, because obviously government has some unique restrictions on data use that you don't necessarily see in other industries. But assuming those things are happening, then it allows us to better tailor the direct provisioning of services to the citizens in a more efficient, more effective way than we've ever done before.
I want to pause the recording here for just a sec and do a quick double take. This is one of the many reasons why applications are such a powerful business tool in today's modern world. They're flexible, and as you may have heard in the previous episode, can be built very easily, with tons of opportunity to be configured 100 different ways in order to fit any kind of business process. What does this mean in light of Alan's comments? Well, because applications are extremely flexible, it means you can use them to capture more data that is oh so critical in today's day and age. If a process changes, you don't have to redeploy a whole new platform within your stack. You don't have to invest in a new system to unlock the data that's housed in this application. You can just make adjustments, push updates via the cloud, and maintain a much-needed sense of flexibility.
Very seldom will you see a government agency called Agile. You know, and honestly, there's a good reason for that, is because government programs really do not have the space to make major mistakes. You can't have major failures in a government program. The consequences of that tend to be immense, because that's really what the purpose of a government program is. So when you start looking at these applications and you want to move them forward, it's not so much agile, it's really keeping up with where their customers, the citizens, their constituents are at, and it's really making that agency more efficient and more effective.
Does that put extra emphasis on the need for a more flexible platform?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it really depends upon where you're at in government. For example, an intelligence system in DOD is going to require a different type of flexibility and agility than, say, an ERP system that's run out of Department of Agriculture. So you've really got to look at where you're at and what's needed there. And then based upon that, then you can say, okay, so what do we need today? What do we need 3 to 5 years from now? And you can map out and say, okay, boom, 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 boom. And when you do that, that basically helps you develop your strategy. Where government's going and the way society and culture is shifting, Yes, those platforms and those applications need to be as flexible as possible, because government is going to bend them in ways that nobody ever thought they would bend them in just a couple of years, because we have a whole new set of needs that it is government needs to meet. If you know the process, you understand the process, you can drive more flexibility from those applications and those platforms. And building out that platform, that core platform, is really saying, okay, we've looked at what our data is, we've looked at our business processes, we've looked at what kind of an experience and engagement we want to provide. How do we line all these up on this platform to make that end outcome a reality? It also gives you a really good basis to take a look and say, okay, what do I need to put in my RFP that it is that I need in the way of an application or in the way of a core platform?
Does that mean that all of these projects should be starting from, say, the line of business side as opposed to the IT side?
I would posit that it should be primarily line of business driven. That being said, there is a key component, a key partnership that needs to happen with IT, because IT has a view across the organization a line of business doesn't have. So, for example, one line of business may want to implement a technology and they're going to go out and buy it and then tell IT to implement it. And IT comes back and says, no, you know, that's great. We already have somebody over here who's already using the technology. We can just get you a few additional licenses. Mm-hmm. So the requirements should be line of business, primarily line of business driven, but it's a partnership between IT and the line of business. It can never be just one or the other.
And what's the risk if you have just IT? Is it the fact that kind of a square peg, round hole conundrum?
I think that's a great way to put it. You end up with a technology that doesn't work for your program or your agency. And you don't see that as much anymore, but you used to see that a lot.
Okay. So kind of summarizing the last bit of our conversation here.
The first one really is to understand the business processes. Once you understand and clearly whether they be official or unofficial business processes, that's the first thing that if you've got those locked down, your potential for success goes so much higher. The second thing you really have to lock down is what data it is you have. You know, a lot of agencies, a lot of government programs will implement a new technology, assuming that they have the data for it. And what they find out is that maybe they didn't have the data, or maybe the data is a lot dirtier than they thought it was. Or, you know, maybe they just have parts of it, or maybe it's not even in the format they thought it was. So understanding the core data that's going to drive that and really move that forward, that's the second piece that's really there. The third part that goes into this is really understanding how it is people are going to be using that. And I think that's a critical piece that a lot of agencies forget, is they don't always remember to look at, well, how is it we're going to use this? We've always done financials, so we always have to do these financial reports. Mm-hmm. Well, if we put a new technology in place, is there new ways to use that data? The answer is yeah, probably. There's new potential outcomes there. So really understanding those three things, the processes, the data, and then the outcomes you want, I think are absolutely critical.
Three things: the process, the data, and the desired outcomes impact employees differently based on the level of their role in an organization. Understanding the nuances as well as how to address them at each of these levels is just as important as understanding the three things themselves.
How does this impact, let's say, three different levels: managers, leadership, and super users?
Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about from the managers first.
Okay.
Basically, what that's going to allow them to do with that data, with those applications, is better manage the programs. Now, obviously, there's a limit to what you can do with a program, because it's every program, I shouldn't say every, almost every program in government is legislatively enabled. And, you know, there's legislation that says what that program can and cannot do, or what it's supposed to do. And so within the confines, within those, basically those walls of what that program is, those data and applications, along with that cultural understanding, allows that manager to better manage that program. So a great example is right now we live in a world where traffic regulations are a huge part of what it is a citizen deals with every day. Let's think 10, 15, 20 years down the road, and let's just assume conservatively that 20%, maybe 30% of the vehicles on the road are autonomous. They're all done by computer and by an AI engine or by AI engines.
Yeah.
How's that going to change traffic regulations? Should change it immensely. And so if I'm that manager and I have this data, not only am I thinking about what it is I need to do for traffic regulations tomorrow, but I need to think 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road and say, what's the technology shift and what's this going to do? So right now, I live in the state of Virginia. You can get your learner's permit at 15 and a half. If you have an autonomous vehicle, you don't even need a learner's permit anymore, do you? How does that change? How does that change what DMV does? How does that change what highway design does? I mean, that's the things we need to be thinking about. So that's at the manager level, and assuming the managers are the long-term civil servants. The execs, if we assume the execs tend to be the more political appointees who come in, they're there for a little while, they're making an impact, and they're going to go out. What this does for them is this allows them to make more data-based policy decisions. Now, everybody who comes in within a political appointee is going to make a decision based upon their political lens, whatever that may be. But what this does is this gives them the data to make policy decisions that are data-driven instead of just purely politically driven. And they can still place it within their political context, that's fine. But it gives them the data and the understanding that they've never had before. And now they can look forward and say, okay, what's the impact of this going to be and how is this going to play out? So that's the first two. The third one is really what you call the super user. And this is the person who's really down in the weeds with this data and with these applications on this platform every single day. And what this does for them is this allows them to shift from the lower level tasks that they've done traditionally. I'll give you an example, calculating lots and lots and lots of stuff in a spreadsheet, to actually being able to do more of the analysis, provide more information and knowledge to the different programs and the different execs that they support with that they never could do before.
If you want to learn more about the study behind this episode, visit sfdc.co/IDC. That's sfdc.co/India Delta Charlie. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning into Our Digital Nation. To learn more about the trends and technology behind the discussion, visit us at salesforce.com/industries/government or follow us on Twitter @SalesforceGOV.